إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
The third reason that Ayat al-Jawadi brings is that by putting the pronoun you in front, by bringing Allah to the front of the sentence, it gives us ease to our worship. In other words, one who sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, the difficulties and the hardships of worshipping Him become easier for him. Now you may be wondering, what does it mean, the difficulties of worship? Why is worship, is it really supposed to be difficult? Is it difficult? So if we take a look at one of the verses, and one of the advantages of looking at the tafasir like that of Ayat al-Jawadi is that you get a more comprehensive understanding of the different verses that are there in the Qur'an and see how they all relate to each other. Some of these tafasir are tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, meaning that one verse of the Qur'an explains the meaning of another verse. This is what we see also in Al-Mizan of Allama Tabatabai as well. So if we look at this verse, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And take recourse in patience and prayer, and it is indeed difficult except for the humble ones. So this idea of salat, and what they say, the interpretation of sabr sometimes is interpreted as fasting, these are obvious forms of worship that we perform. This worship is difficult, it's kabir, except for the humble ones. Why is it difficult except for the humble ones? Because the person who still has a sense of pride within him, it's still all about me and my ego, and I see myself coming before Allah. I see that my wants are preceding Allah's wants. When Allah commands me to do something, and I feel like doing something else, sometimes I tend towards what I want to do. This is a form of arrogance and lack of understanding of Allah's true worth. When that happens and our focus is not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this humility that I am supposed to express and this complete submission becomes difficult because I've got this eye on the way that I need to get rid of. And so if the focus isn't correct, then this ibadah can be very difficult. If, however, we bring Allah to the front, if Allah, the goal behind our worship, the entity that we are worshipping now comes to the front, and He is the thing that we see first, then suddenly it becomes easier because now I have submitted. Now I have shown not only in the system of existence, which I may or may not understand, but through my words I am expressing the fact that Allah is first and I come second. And that helps remove this pride and submit to Allah and be humble towards Him. Furthermore, we can say that even in our daily phenomena, when we see the goal behind what we are doing, it automatically makes things easier for us. Any difficult thing or task that we're trying to achieve, if we see that goal and really focus on the goal, it helps alleviate those burdens and those difficulties. Now, alhamdulillah, many of us have been blessed with the opportunity of doing the ziyarah of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala on the days of Arba'in. And those of us who have gone through that walk, where we walk from Najaf to Karbala over a period of 2 to 3 days, sometimes in extreme heat, sometimes in extreme cold, walking about 80 kilometers, we would never do something like this when walking from one other city to a different city. It's only in this particular event that we are putting ourselves through this hardship and difficulty. Now, when we start off, we have that motivation, we have that energy. But halfway through that day, when we've walked and we've suffered the heat and the blisters on our feet and we're tired, we know we still have to go on. But what is it that motivates us? It is the goal that is motivating us. I know that at the end of this walk, I am going to reach Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And keeping that in mind, that gives me energy to keep going and keep focusing and keep trying and putting that effort into walking towards Karbala. The same thing applies over here. When we put Allah as the focus and we realize His true worth and who He really is and our ultimate poverty before Him, then that gives us that energy that it is Allah that I am worshipping. He is the goal. This salat of mine, for example, is going to take me closer to Him. I'm going to achieve something from this. And so the burdens and the difficulties are reduced. We can even give an example of children. Sometimes when we look at children, we can learn a lot from the children based on their behavior. So the mother of the house, as some of you may be, you might have cooked something really, really tasty. You put a lot of sweat and effort into cooking this ghost nusak or whatever it is that you are cooking. A lovely meal that you have prepared, spending hours on it. But when the child comes to the dinner table, he says, I don't want to eat it. I'm not hungry. I don't like it. And so we feel like, I put so much effort into this. Why is he saying this? But if you were to tell him or her that if you eat this food, this meal properly, you can get a lollipop or you can have a sweet after the meal. Now that child, he doesn't want to eat your food. He doesn't want to eat that healthy food. He wants the sweet. But he will put himself through the pain and the effort and the distaste of eating that food, as delicious as it might be. But for him, he doesn't want to eat it. But he'll do it. Why? Because he sees the goal. He sees that there is a sweet at the end of it, or there's a lollipop that I'm going to get at the end of it. And that allows him to get through. So from this, we understand that there are other reasons. And one of them is to bring ease to the worship. And this is why we see our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, famous phrase of his, جُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, the prayer has been made a delight for my eyes. When we reach that level, inshallah, then we pray that the prayer becomes a delight for our eyes as well. And this idea of worshipping Allah doesn't become a cumbersome task for us. Another reason why we put Allah at the front. We know that shaitan is constantly trying to affect us during our day. We know that Allah has declared him to be an open enemy for us, and we have to be on guard. And he will distract us and try to pull us away from the path of Allah in different ways during different tasks that we are performing during that day. However, when it comes to salah specifically and the acts of ibadah, then shaitan comes in with extra effort. He comes with his full force and energy to distract our hearts away from this ibadah so that we don't have full attention in our prayers. For the other acts, he's there, but he doesn't do it so seriously the way he does in salah. And therefore, if when we are saying the fact that we worship Allah, if we bring in the idea that we are worshiping Allah, or we are worshipping Allah, if the focus is on me or us, or the focus is on the act of worship, it allows shaitan to enter. Because what I have done is I focused on myself first, or I have focused on the idea that I'm worshipping, and I'm giving shaitan an opportunity to bring a different deity before I mention Allah. So when I say I, suddenly my focus has become on I. And shaitan could put something else in front of me, such as this I is worshipping that other thing. Or if I put that worship first, I say I am worshipping. Shaitan could come in at that point and say, you're worship. What are you worshipping? Why don't you worship this? And so it gives the shaitan an opportunity to bring something else in and distract us away from Allah, who is the true ma'bud. On the other hand, if we put Allah first, we say that it is Allah that I worship, automatically the focus is now on Allah, and we are preventing this intrusion from shaitan. Now we may think, what is this intrusion? When I say I am worshipping, what is shaitan going to do? Is he going to bring a picture of a statue in my mind? Is he going to show me a fire that I'm supposed to be worshipping a fire? Obviously we know that shaitan attacks everybody at their own level. And so when we start worshipping, he might have this ability to create other goals for us. And we mentioned some of these last time, where we said that it could be the fame. It could be that we're doing this prayer to show off, for example. Or we're thinking about some monetary investment that we've put in. All these things that normally don't come to our mind, but in salah, even like the furthest thing, the thing that we just can't solve during the day comes to our mind in salah, and suddenly those things become our goals in salah. Not only that, but sometimes, as we mentioned, that when we do true ibadah and we understand that everything is an abd of Allah, including the heaven and the hell, then that heaven shouldn't even be my goal. True, we need to go through that step where first I am focusing on trying to avoid the fire and entering heaven. But at the later stages then, we understand that even these are abd of Allah. And so it is not even the rewards that I am after, but it is Allah that I am after. And so the goals that shaitan brings into our mind and our heart can be avoided by mentioning Allah first. And sometimes it's not just the ukhrawi things. It's not just those things that we think about of the akhirah, although we have mentioned that the akhirah is right now. But sometimes we might feel that if I do some spiritual exercises, or if I do some self-purification, then I will gain some karamat. I might be able to do supernatural things, and suddenly those become our goals. So obviously shaitan attacks everybody at their own level, but the point is that if we bring Allah first, it focuses us on His, on Himself only, and He becomes the goal, so that nothing else can be brought in by shaitan.